All right. Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Sidecar Coffee Podcast. My name is Lewis.
And I'm Caleb, and today we have a very special guest. So today we're talking with someone who is very well known in the coffee industry and is just on his way on an amazing journey right now. So he works at Finca Soledad and is the guardian of Finca San Pedro and collaborator of Putachillo. He's a young influencer and pioneer within the coffee industry. On Instagram, he's known as coffee underscore with underscore Jose. And if that didn't give it away, then I don't know what else will. He's a leader among coffee producers, and he's only 18. We want to welcome to the podcast, Jose Gijon.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's having a good night, good evening, or good day. Well, I hope I can live up to that introduction. Hopefully, I will.
Yeah. If everybody's not having a good day, they're having a better day now that they hear your voice. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Today on the podcast, we're drinking. So I'm in a little bit of a different location. So if anybody hears any kind of out of pocket noises, I'm in a cafe right now in Kansas City. And so I do not have a sidecar, unfortunately, but I did brew this September coffee. That was produced by Jose and Francisco. This is a Mejorado washed from Finca del Pujito. And we'll get into that a little later, but let's taste this coffee. So I brewed it on a this is a filter brew of the origami, and I did kind of like a coarser recipe, and I used the Mellow Drip, and it turned out fantastic. I tried a little before I left, just because I wanted to try it fresh, and it's been sitting in the car for about like 5 hours now, but it's still hot, surprisingly.
Shout out fellow for keeping our stuff hot.
Fellow. Yeah, in
That's
my
amazing.
Onyx. It's really good. When I first tried it, it's surprisingly sweet. To me, I was like, it tastes like a syrup or like a nectar of some sorts. You do get that like stone fruit, like pear, apple. I think with most of the Mejorados I've tried, it's been pretty similar, like just super, super sweet. Along with you get like some apple, like malic acidity type vibes, but it's so good. It's just like, it's not like too, it's not like a mouth explosion. Like it's not gonna punch you in the face, but it's still like absolutely fantastic. I think it almost has like a lime kind of finish. But it's really, really pleasant. I've really enjoyed it, and it does still have like some strawberry or brighter berry notes as well, but fantastic coffee.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that's what I've been always aiming to do. Like now that I have the opportunity to manage and be head of San Pedro. I've been on the mission of just doing washed coffees, and I feel like that will be like our main goal in like a very long time, because I really enjoy washed coffees in all senses of the word. I feel like cedar washed, Típica Mejorado washed are like the best expressions of terroir you can get, because it is basically pure terroir. And I actually agree with so much of your notes. I was drinking some San Pedro earlier from the new harvest and stuff, and I actually agree. I haven't been able to try the September roast yet, but I've heard a lot of good things, and I'm really happy that Kyle gave me the opportunity to be featured on his platform of September. So I'm really happy too that you're enjoying the coffee, and that's what it's all about, like sharing everything, you know, sharing the story, sharing the also sharing, like, I feel like the philosophy behind the farming and the producer. And yeah, I feel like that's why I was like blasted with like emotions when you guys contacted me to be on the podcast, because it's like just another amazing platform that I've been given the opportunity to be in, to like, I don't know, I feel like having a more deep and personal communication between the consumer and the producer it's a beautiful way to enhance like coffee lovers all over the world. So yeah,
absolutely, man.
Really,
yeah. That's something that we strive to kind of do with this podcast, is just connect communities and also just like educate more people on this industry. I feel like me and Caleb were just having this conversation earlier, to where the more you know about something, the kind of easier it is to enjoy and to become passionate about. And so being able to do this podcast and being able to have you on here is really awesome, and something that's like a blessing that we're able to kind of communicate your message and communicate what goes through the mind of a producer, and just being able to have people see that will hopefully just keep, you know, driving this industry and connecting everybody. So we love to hear it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, thank you for that, because we also went through like waves on waves of emotion. We were on the phone like screaming, because like, we were like, Jose said yes, like that's crazy. Like it was so it's honestly it's such a pleasure to have you on this podcast and just be able to talk to you and like finally meet you. So again, thank you for the kind words. But yeah, that's what we're all about here, just sharing coffee, because it's such an awesome industry. I also have the September coffee here on a sidecar. And so I'm gonna get tasted on that and see what we get. Dude, this isn't, it's insane. It's such a fragrant coffee. Like it hits you up front with like a lot of like sweetness, stone fruits, like Lewis was saying. But it just, as it goes across the palate, there's not like one thing I can say it tastes like, because it tastes like a million different things. It's got this like really nice subtle complexity. On the back end, it's got this like lime, mango, candy acidity. This is incredible. On espresso. I had a filter brew of it earlier today, and me and Lewis kind of talked about our filter brews. And we were just kind of getting just so much. This coffee is insane. So I'm going to try it with milk now too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, he got the setup like.
Oh yeah. this honestly might be like top coffee of the year. Like, this is insane. It's such a good coffee. With milk, it just like gives so much sweetness, and it's almost like you took everything about the espresso and then baked it into like a pie. Like that's the best way I can describe it. It's just so much sweetness. It's really, really good. So shout out Kyle for roasting this, but also like shout out you for this amazing coffee, because it's insane.
So yeah, I kind of want to continue on with what you were kind of talking about there, Jose. To anybody that kind of doesn't know, you were talking about terroir. What does that kind of, firstly, kind of like a brief description of what that is, but also kind of like to you, why is terroir important? And just kind of like give us your, I guess, kind of explanation, but more of like your mindset on how you like to express, or more of like your, I guess, like perspective on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had the blessing of being able to go to, right now, I think, three international expos, Taiwan, Chicago, and Copenhagen, the last one. And there I've been able to talk with so many amazing producers whom I respected, and I've tried coffees that just blew my mind away, like, for example, Justin from Longboard and Jameson Savage. And every time I meet a producer that I enjoy the work they do, even if I've never tried their coffees before, I always try to ask them like a tip or like an advice for like an aspiring new producer in this scene. And for example, Justin told me something that really sticks with me, and my dad does also like kind of like the same opinion, is that you should never poison your soil. And what I mean by that is that for me, terroir is like the purest expression of hard work and the soil that you have on your farm, you know, because Myself personally, I think that washed is the best expression of that because you don't add anything to the coffee. Like it can be like either it's like you do a natural. I feel like some part of that terroir is lost if you do, for example, yeast or like infusion. Not even gonna get into that because I don't want to get angry, but that's even less terroir. But I feel like washed, it's the perfect expression of terroir because it's just what the land gives out, you know, exactly what the land gives out. And funny enough, on near Putuchio, near San Pedro, there was a place where they used to burn gold, silver, and other precious metals in furnaces centuries and centuries ago when we're like, but like ages ago. So the thing that I enjoyed so much about working in San Pedro is the fact that the energy that is felt on the place, it's absolutely astonishing. Like you go there and it's super hot, it's a harsh terrain, it's super dry. Yeah, like you would think like nothing grows here apart from like cactus because we have a lot of those and some trees and or so, and then you see like some coffee and it's like crazy. And that is also like it's beautiful to see coffee there, but it's I can tell you it's not so beautiful to plant it. It is definitely like an amazing experience to be able to do the holes and stuff, but believe me that my hands and back are sometimes messed up because of that. But that hard work, that feeling, that energy that the land gives out, what makes the coffee unique, what makes the coffee stand out, what makes the coffee give these notes, I feel like it's all based on terroir, on the land that you have, on the soil that you have, on the things that you put into the soil. And that goes also alongside one of my I would say one of the things I admire the most about Finca La Soledad is that my dad tells me all the time that he doesn't have a coffee farm. He has a garden with a little bit of coffee in it. So I feel like that's just beautiful, and that's just what we should aim to do. We're like, we should not just destroy everything around the coffee and just to make the coffee grow there. It needs to be like something of like a union between all the natural plants that have been there for centuries. Like, for example, we have this cactus that I was telling you about. This cactus have like so much years, like 50 years or even more. And you should always respect that because that constitutes also for me part of the terroir, because that goes alongside it, you know. And then you can get even more philosophical with it, adding that for me also terroir, it's like the energy that we put into the soil, in the sense that I feel like we should be happy to be able to work with the soil personally, me and my dad, because it's just such a rewarding experience, because you also get firsthand of what the soil needs, what the plant needs. And if you just stay like from top watching like how the our friends or workers plant and just take care of the plants, there's no fun either in that. You will get fat probably, and you will also like just no don't have a personal connection with the coffee. And that feel like that goes on with like so much stuff, in the sense that from planting the coffees to taking care, giving a walk alongside the coffee plants, and then just go back to the milling or like to the drying. You should always be present in that. And also having the workers be happy with what they're giving. And that is also a very important point in La Soledad and San Pedro, is that we say that we make happy beans for happy people, and the beans get happy because the beans are treated with kindness and with happy people too. So that's why sometimes I've heard like on Reddit and on stuff like that, like people complain a lot about the prices of our coffees. And maybe for me, I might be able to see like why, you know. But there is also something that I always like to get the message out there. That's the why, you know. And that's because we don't just put all that money into our pockets. What is true is that growing coffee, it's just such a long process, and it involves people, you know. And I feel like that makes it beautiful, but the people need to be happy for yourself to be able to feel like you're doing something good for other people, which for me it's the nature of man and what like the a person should always do is to try to be kind and try to give out as much as he can to other people. It can be kindness, it can be like work opportunities, whatever, just being kind to one another, because I feel like that's the most important thing. And we'll always try to keep our workers happy, either with planning, for example, they go to the beach once a year without everything paid, or like, for example, we make a coffee called Chanchito. So what we do with that is that the coffee that is not good, we make a very rigorous control of quality on the coffee. The coffee that is not good, we usually sell to an association or anything like that. And that money goes through a monthly dinner that we have with the workers. And obviously, like, and the most important part, being able to give your workers a fair wage, not for them to be able to afford living. They should be able to afford nice things. They should be able to afford getting a vacation. They should be able to afford getting their kids to school. And there is a very good quote of Seneca that I really love and I always have in mind. It's that every person is an opportunity for kindness. So yeah, well, I got I really well I talked a lot, but yeah, it's
no worries, that's much. Perfect.
That was
like
all,
this
was
is all
beautiful.
Yeah, it's all stuff people need to hear. Like, it's not, it's funny. Like, it's such an easy concept, you would think, to treat everybody with respect and treat everyone with kindness and just share positive energy within everything you do. And it's just so inspiring that you just have such a love for every little detail in the industry. And it's just like, it's so awesome talking to people that are just like-minded and just passionate about what they do. And the passion shows, man. So like, it's insane. You guys are doing some incredible work down there. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So getting into the start of this episode, I just want to ask, like, who is Jose? Give us a brief description on like yourself, and we'd love to hear about like, you know, just like meeting you. What would you describe like yourself and your passions and
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess just what you would identify with or as.
Yeah. Well, so I would aim to for everybody to meet me like in the same way. I feel like treating everybody with respect, in the sense that now with social media and like with all that kind of stuff, you know, and now for me, ego has been like growing a lot into our society lately, like way more. I feel like you should always treat people with the same respect. Like, this might be like cliche or whatever, and it's like very pretty famous quote or whatever, but I do really feel like it's like that. You should treat the janitor and the president the same way. I feel like that was the quote, something like that. That's the meaning. You can have one follower on Instagram. If you don't have Instagram, even better, because social media is so much stuff. Like, you should treat everybody with the same respect, and I always aim to do that with everybody I meet. I will always try to be able to talk with you personally, talk and trade knowledge, because people have so much stuff in them, like, that you can get a lot of out of, you know, because everybody has endured, for example, everybody has endured a lot of hardships in their life, and you can learn how to do with maybe some stuff that's going on with you by talking to people. But you get to that level of like personally talking via being a good human being. And that's what I will always say. Like, for me, what I like, if I could say myself to be one thing, is just an aspiring good human being. I will not always be good. I will mess up sometimes, and maybe I will get angry at this, and maybe or anything like that. But what I always try to do is just to be a good human being with others. And there goes another, I love philosophy and I love reading, and there goes the Stoics say that we should live in accordance with nature, and living in accordance with nature is treating everybody with respect, treating everybody with kindness. And yeah, I feel like you can learn so much just from talking to people. They don't need to be like famous, they don't need to be nothing, you know, like just being able to be here and talk to their, well, okay, let me get this. Okay. So For me, just being here in this world where there's so much like things going on, there's so much anger, there's so much sadness in this world, that in and of itself for me, it's a really beautiful fact that you haven't gave up because, I had some problems when I was a kid and with some like mental health stuff. Oh yeah, with some mental health stuff and what I feel like helped me get through that kind of stuff was talking to people and just being kind to others because that in some way or another, via nature, via the universe, via your family, via a random person on the street, it will just get back to you because you don't need to like do something expecting to be given something in return. You know, that's just not the right thing to do. And yeah, if I could tell myself to be something, it's just to always keep always trying to aspire to be a better person. I will never be perfect, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't be trying to do so, to be so. So yeah.
That's beautiful. I think
Yeah, that's.
I completely agree with what you're saying. I think that's you are your environment, and so surrounding yourself by, people that care and that show kindness.
Don't know, but yeah, the cafe internet.
Did I
There
lag?
you go.
My internet is
Yeah, you
unstable.
froze up. See?
I think surrounding yourself by people that show kindness, that show love, that actually care, I think can definitely affect your mindset. And being around nature and, having that philosophy of, every little thing, like treating everything with kindness and caring and showing love, I think is really important. And it honestly, it will only like better other people's experience on this earth. And so, like, I always see it. My dad has a quote, this is from like a book called Fahrenheit 451. And it talks about whenever you leave this earth, the only thing that's left is like your fingerprints and what you've touched. And so
Beautiful.
it talks about, so I like taking that mindset and just being like, how many things can I leave my fingerprints on? How many things can I, impact in a positive way that it will stay there? And hopefully that will impact something else in a positive way. So, that's really cool to see. And I think something that, like agreeing with what you were saying, like especially nowadays when there's so much hate and people are so quick to judge and no one and like just people assuming things, I think that's an important mindset to have for sure.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of the thing that I was saying. Like, you guys think that you're maybe like experiencing or learning something from me, and at the end of the day, for me it's the same. Like, for me, by listening to your guys' podcast and by listening to you guys speak as passionately as you do, and now you're dropping me good and amazing quotes that I will probably tell any other person or whatever. That's a perfect example. I'm learning from you, and as you're learning maybe from me, hopefully. But yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, beautiful communication. And
Yeah.
that's the beauty of speaking to other people, you know.
That's
100%.
awesome. Yeah. Just gaining perspectives, man. Like it just opens up the mind and helps us just delve into this industry even more, because there's not one way to do coffee. There's not one way to live life. So it kind of everything just goes hand in hand. So yeah, we appreciate you. All these kind words. Like you're so great, man. Like I'm excited.
You
I'm
guys
so
are great.
excited. Like
All right. Getting into this, you mentioned going to the three separate coffee expos. Do you want to talk about your experience? I know you just got back from Copenhagen, talking about that, and also, going to Chicago this past year. I'd love to hear about some takeaways and just kind of like your experience and, traveling the world and being able to go to these coffee expos and stuff.
Yeah, so the coffee, my first coffee expo was in Taiwan, and I feel like that like flipped the switch on me to, I don't know, like I'll tell you a little bit about the story of Taiwan. So like the first day, I was really, really scared like to talk to anybody. I said to myself, I won't drink any coffee because if I drink too much coffee, I will talk too much crap.
Ha ha ha.
So I've decided to say to myself, okay, we don't drink toffee today. But in a way, I was still like, maybe not, the word is not battling, but I would use that for now, in the sense that I was just still considering myself like Pepe's son, and that I will always be just like Pepe's son. So I was like kind of like hiding behind my dad, and my dad, everybody knew my dad, and that was crazy too. So I was like just I was just behind them, not talking too much. And the next day I was like, okay, I'll just drink some coffee. Let's see what happens. Safe to say, I drink so much coffee, like immense amounts of coffee. And then I just started speaking with everybody, like so openly, and just I started noticing that, oh, like people actually like to hear what I'm saying, and I love to hear what people say, and I've always been like that. So this is a perfect combination. So the next day after that, the last day, I was talking to every single one, every single person, like, and I feel like that flipped the switch in the sense that I noticed that people actually like to hear, like my experience and my set of things, you know. And I feel like that exchange really was really beautiful. So then we went to Chicago, and by Chicago I was already working like way more, and I was already head of San Pedro. So being able to get to know people, and we brought Putushi on San Pedro to brew there. And I feel like one of the best things about the expos, one of the best moments, is always when we are at the stand and we are doing coffees. And every, I don't know, we're like a group of people just come, and even if they've never heard of the farm or whatever, and you just give them the coffee, sometimes they're like, okay, it's okay, it's okay. And others are like, their eyes are shining and they're so happy, and they're asking for more. And that moment, it's such a beautiful, beautiful experience. And when I was serving San Pedro, and also La Soledad, but this is not about La Soledad, this is about San Pedro. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Thing, right?
But seeing like the reception that San Pedro had in Chicago was incredible. Like people came up to me, and now they started saying like, "Oh, your coffee with Jose," and I was like, "You know me, yeah." And like even like some people came and they didn't know my dad, but they knew me, and I was like, you see, I'm catching up."
It's
That's
Jose's
awesome.
dad. It's Jose's dad.
Yeah, it's Jose's
Yeah,
day.
exactly. So yeah, the reception of that was amazing. And if there's any producer like hearing, or anybody that knows the producer or whatever, I feel like this is a very important message to get out to the producer community, is that the expos changed everything. You get to know people directly. You don't work via third parties to meet this roaster or this roaster. You meet them in person. And that exchange of energy, I feel like it's way more personal. And I feel like that's a really, really step, a big step towards like being self-sufficient without having to be able to, without having to have third parties involved. We have worked with direct trade since my dad went to his first expo, and he discovered like that you don't need anybody else for you to, if your coffee has the quality, you can speak to people in the expos. You get to meet so much amazing people. And that's how you get your coffees out with yourself, because you also represent the values of your coffee, the values of the farm. And I feel like people getting to know you, that's super, super important. And I feel like even if you are just like a coffee enthusiast and you do brewing at home, I feel like it is also an incredible experience because you make such good friends. I don't know. I always say that I think that there is so much caffeine in the air that everybody's just super, super nice. And yeah, even if you're a producer enthusiast, I feel like going to an expo, it's such a cool experience, and I would recommend it to every single one.
That's yeah, unfortunately me and Caleb have never made it to one, but hopefully
Yeah.
this next year we'll be able to make it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I've only ever heard
we
only
were.
ever heard things.
Yeah, we were planning on being at Chicago. It just didn't work out. But we were like, man, we don't get to meet Pepe and Jose. We were like, oh gosh. We were so excited to finally meet you guys. But yeah, no, we will be at the I don't know what the next one in the States is, but we'll be there.
See,
Yeah, I think he's Houston. I don't know if it's next year though.
We'll see.
Whenever it is, we'll be
We'll
there.
best definitely be on the lookout. Yeah. So going back to kind of what you were talking about, I think as a young farmer, and growing up, were you always kind of interested in coffee? I know there's some problems in certain coffee communities where the younger generation doesn't want to go into farming. And I kind of wanted to get your insight on that. And was there ever a time to where you were like, yeah, I don't want to do coffee. I want to go do something else. I want to like, was there a moment like that for you? And then what kind of was the flick to where you turned to, oh, I'm doing coffee. I want to grow. I want to do this and this and this.
Yeah, there was definitely that moment. Well, I don't know if you guys know, but we are first generation farmers. Like my dad got Soledad that I think it's 14 years. So I grew alongside the plants, which was always a beautiful thing. I spent so much time at the farm, and like I actually liked going there. For example, I have a sister, Cassandra, and when we got the farm, she was old enough to say, no, I don't want to go to the farm. I wasn't. I was like a little kid. So I couldn't say no. So at first didn't like it so much because we didn't have a house. We slept in tents for some time. But then I actually started liking just exploring around, and I was never like so much it was because I was a kid, but I was not like so much interested in coffee. Then I started growing up, and sadly, as I grew up, I always saw my dad like just completely struggle, and that translated to him struggling mentally and physically because of coffee, because we were losing money all the time. Like it was a constant like being almost on our knees to people to so they can buy the coffee, and it was not never like a rewarding experience. There was so much hard work physically and mentally going into the coffee, and that was never like reciprocal. We never got that for a long, long time. So I never really liked coffee until like I was maybe 15 or 16. I love working at the farm, but I always told my dad like I'm not gonna be a coffee farmer in no way. Like I want to be a lawyer, and that's like well that that's the hard that's a harsh difference between lawyer and coffee farmer, but. Yeah, that was my mindset. I never really liked coffee. I like drinking it. But my dad, in a way, I feel like when I started to realize that the power in a sense that coffee has when people started coming to the farm, when my dad, I don't know, were like blew up with the expo. People started coming to the farm, very passionate, very amazing people. And I just like kind of felt like that passionate energy that they gave out. And he was like, oh, that it's crazy that coffee can do that to you. So my dad always told me to go and cup with him, and I didn't really like it. So he used to sell me like, okay, I will give you $20 if you come cupping with me. And I was like, oh, $20. Yeah, I can
Free
get
money, dude.
Yeah.
A PlayStation Plus like membership, like
Yeah.
so I always said yes, but at some point I started really to notice the differences between the coffees. Like it didn't I used to like freak around with my dad and just like tell him this tastes like wood and this tastes like chocolate, and that will be like my two main notes for every single coffee. But just that was just to screw with my dad. But at some point I really started to realize like, oh, this actually tastes like pear, this actually tastes like green apple, and then I started to notice, oh, this is like a thick, this is like milk consistency, and this is like more juicy. And I started seeing the contrast between, I actually fell in love with cupping, and I've always loved cupping since, because I also feel like it's a super duper important ability and a thing to have as a producer, because you should always know the worth of your coffee. And that you get the worth of your coffee via cupping. You could have an amazing floral, sweet, juicy geisha, but if you don't cup it, and somebody tells you like this is worth like 15 a kilo, you would say, oh, 15 a kilo for a cup for the most of the coffee farmers, that would be like a really, really good price. But if you will cup it and you would stay with your coffee and you would drink it and you would sell, oh, this is freaking insane. You would sell it for more or whatever. But the important thing is that you get to know what your coffee is worth. So, okay, going back to track. The thing is, after that, I started telling my dad, like, you don't need to pay me 20. You can pay me 10, then 5. And you don't even need to pay me. And I started doing it just for the passion. But the thing that for me made coffee what it is today, such an impactful thing and such an important thing in my life, is that it had the ability to reunite me and my dad as a father and son duo. Because I used to get along with my dad, obviously, because you need to get along with your dad, but not so much, you know. And coffee was a way of us to communicate with each other, to spend time with each other. And that was just the most beautiful part. I started to love cupping, but what I really started to love was being able to be with my dad. So then that turned into way of more of like a thing that I started helping my dad with every single thing that I could, in sense of I always loved working the land, doing the process, but never like too much on social media and getting the message out and just maybe going to this place to learn or just sit down and learn about nature, about biology. And then I started doing that, and my dad told me, okay, let's go to Taiwan. But before that, coffee gave me the opportunity to be able to work at Say, which was one of the most incredible experiences of my life, like not even coffee wise, but being able to be with such amazing people like Lance, Liam, Greg, Owen, like the workers at Say were like such good people to me in all ways and all senses of the word. I feel like that was completely amazing. And then I went to Taiwan, and then Coffee with Jose started, and now it turned into a really beautiful thing with San Pedro and stuff. So I would have never thought of myself in the position that I am right now. A couple of years ago, I would have imagined myself in a university learning and listening to an old dude who just reads and makes me write essays on stuff that I can do that by myself, just reading.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. Don't recommend it.
Yeah, old dudes are overrated.
Yeah,
College is overrated. You, being a coffee farmer is better, I feel. That's awesome. So with talking about keeping like on track with like being young in this industry, what do you think would kind of, I guess, like spark younger people being more interested and to gain a more like well-rounded appreciation for the industry?
In the producer like scene or like the consumer?
I think
I would be curious in seeing kind of what, I guess, more of like advice or view on, like just getting younger, I guess, like more farmers on a producer side standpoint first, maybe. And I think you kind of already kind of touched on it a little bit with like saying how important like the expos are. And like actually, but yeah, I would love to see if you have anything more you would like to say.
You're going to say something, Caleb? I see that you have the mic.
Yeah. I think also with like, I feel that on the consumer end, like there's not, yeah, kind of more so both with like, in what way do you think, because I think younger people being in this industry is awesome. I mean, obviously, like we're here, you're here, trying to do more. Like what do you think would be a great way to get more of a well-rounded appreciation for the industry, and also like resources out for younger people, I guess. And get more people engaged in the industry and excited and going through the same like inspiration that you went through.
Okay, perfect. So on the producer scene, if I could talk to somebody that it's like the son of a producer, and let me tell you, like 95% of producers, of coffee producers on earth are not doing well at all. And I can definitely tell you that with honesty and sincerity. So I would understand why, but then I feel like that is also like the thing that all of us are trying to do. You guys as consumers, we as producers who are doing blessed, thank you to God, well, it's just to get the message out that first of all, there should be like, you know, some type of way, in my opinion, a revolution amongst producers, because there's so much hard work that goes into growing coffee. Like I had people come to the farm and just pick up the shovel and make like 10 crowns of the plant, like just cleaning around the plant. And in 10 plants, they're exhausted. We do that the whole day. And our workers, they beat my ass because they know how to work that even better. So they do like 100. So there's so much hardship. There's so much stuff going on behind just that cup of coffee that you're trying, that washed or that natural. I feel like when people start to realize that, or most specifically producers, that in a way they have the power to tell you how much your the coffee is worth via cupping, and just in and of itself, like I feel like it's important for producers to realize that their work should be really, really valued, you know? And as consumers, I feel like the responsibility goes to in the way that when you see a bean that out maybe from a not such a rich country in the coffee scene like Panama, or like you see a Guatemalan coffee that's doing great, or a Nicaraguan coffee that's doing great, and it's just a little bit more expensive, I feel like that's a good thing to do, because you're supporting a poor country, you're supporting also this producer, and producers should not just be able to afford living. They should be able to afford, and they should be able to see their hard work going into things like getting, as the workers, getting their kids to school, having a car, don't like having good clothes on their back, being able to feed their family and support their family. I feel like that's the thing that it's really important for us as producers to see, because I saw that. I saw my dad struggling. I saw my dad like being so resilient, but with no things going back to him. Like he was only giving and giving and giving. There was nothing going back. I hated coffee then. And I would imagine that there are so much young people like me in the same situation. But yeah, that's the work that we as producers and as people and as people that know what it takes to grow coffee should be trying to get the message out. Because yeah, there might be a farm in the deep jungles of like Nicaragua that makes coffee way better than our coffee. But we should get that message out, because that's important. Because that if the coffee producers win, we all win in a way, because we are supporting each other. And that's beautiful on the humanistic side and stuff, but there is also economic growth for the producers into making more people be attracted with the coffees, you know? So I'm sure that there's so much people in my position right now, in my position a few years ago, where they didn't want to do coffee. But what we need to do is we need to try to found these people, encourage them to keep pursuing the art of coffee. But we need to do that throughout showing people that you can make a successful, and you can be a successful person, like just growing coffee. You know, you don't need to be a lawyer. You can be successful growing coffee, but that involves a lot of parts, and that's why it's difficult, because it involves more producers to make other coffees well known than it takes the consumer, because the consumer at the end of the day pays for the beans. There goes the roaster. It's a really big chain, but I feel like it's starting to shift into a good direction the past couple of years, because it changed myself. It changed my life. It changed my dad's life. So there's definitely a lot of change to be done, but we're at least going into the right direction for me. We could be going faster, but you can never ask like something to be as the way you want it to, especially when it involves like the whole world. But yeah, if I could say just one thing, is that support producers do selling their coffee for a little bit more. If it's like $5 or so, especially if they work with direct trade, and even though if they don't, support when a producer is demanding what it should be really worth, because there's so much work going behind it. Just try to just take into consideration that, you know. And then to the younger side, like to not producer, I would say that, and there is something like it's been really, really controversial with infused coffees. I feel like, funny enough, infused coffees are an interesting way for young people to try, because as myself, I thought coffee was just like a dark and super thick and smushy beverage that was tasted like burned and ashes. So then I started to appreciate the washed naturals with the soft notes of fruit and stuff. But that's not, a lot of people can't do that because a lot of people don't have access to cupping the coffees that I cup. But I feel like that's why, in a way, and I would just try to stick with this because I got my opinions about infused coffee, but this is, I feel like something that's worth talking about, is that it makes young people come and they take like blueberry cake with yuzu and red apple infusion. They try that, they enjoy it, good for them. But at some point you might get tired of it and you will go, oh, I see this washed coffee, let's see what it is. And oh my God, this is way more like delicate. Or then you get maybe like a natural anaerobic and you still get that fruitiness, but it's a little bit more detailed, a little bit more complex, a little bit more, yeah. So I feel like it's a good entry point for new people. But in that direction, in the direction of fomenting more normal people to get into the coffee, specialty coffee scene, I feel like in that way we're going in a great direction and we're going fast because there's so much growth in the specialty coffee community. I've seen like a lot of young people at the expos in Copenhagen and Chicago, a lot of people. In Paris, where we had a show recently, I met a 14-year-old coffee roaster. That's absolutely bonkers. Like, and wow. It's Coco, yeah. Coco and Neep's
That's
coffee.
That's crazy, actually. I didn't even know what coffee was when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's insane.
I don't know what I was doing either. I feel like I was just playing video games and like working at the farm, but
yeah.
It's Coco and Neep's. If you guys want to go to support him, he's a really cool, nice guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're going in a great direction, you know? I feel like it's just starting to become a way more of like a bigger platform, and that would mean there will be even more demand, which will be good because it will give in a way a little bit more power to the producer to demand better prices. And yeah.
I think
that's awesome.
You know, taking from that, it's important for us as consumers to be as educated as possible and push for roasteries and people that work in the industry to care about direct trade and to care about transparency as a company. You know, who am I buying this coffee from? How many steps are in this chain, or how many links, like how long it is, and truly caring about that as a person in the industry, I feel is important, and someone as consumers that we should hold them responsible for that. I think a lot of people, it's pretty common to where they don't really care about, as long as they get coffee, they don't care about, you know, the steps that it took for them to get it, which is a frustrating take and something that I definitely try to educate as much people as, you know, and there's a hard process between like sounding bougie and like mm-hmm. making it come off like, oh, I'm better than you because I drink directly trade coffee. It's like, no, but you know, it's something that we should be thinking about for sure. And definitely pushing towards like for consumers and for business owners who are worried about the price, you know, it's, and like you own a business, you know, that should be important to you and your values as a business to support producers on a direct level and to truly pay for what you're getting and to care about the whole process of not only paying for the product, but also paying for, you know, the quality and everything that upholds the quality with paying the workers or paying for the different types of transportation or the smaller things on the farm level. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that's motivating, you know, hearing that and, you know, being, you know, working as a, not only as a consumer, like being able to invite my friends over and being like, hey, try this coffee. And, you know, having that ability to share, but also to work in a cafe and being able to talk to people about, you know, where you got this coffee from, or to even just talk about coffee and say like, hey, like people grow this and they matter, and you know, you shouldn't be mad about paying over, you know, because some people are like, you bought that bag for $20. It's like, yeah,
It's like, yeah, and I would buy it for more. Like, I don't know,
yeah.
like it should be. It's
So
also like it goes back to what you were saying, Lewis, about just going into like being a like business owner and everything, like the fingerprint that you're leaving behind. If you're a business owner, you really should be. We talk about this a lot on the pod, about it. You really should be worried about educating your audience, because there's a lot of people that look to you as the professional. And there was someone awesome that told us that the supply chain is only as good as its weakest link. And why would you want to be that weak link? So why would you, the as a barista or a cafe owner, which is the end of the supply chain, want to really give the consumer something that's not actually worth their time and an actual of value. I always want to give people a valuable experience with coffee, and to a place that they can start their own journey off of.
Yeah, I feel like we also, I feel like a lot of people don't actually can maybe start or consider to get into specialty coffee, especially because I've because of from people I've talked to who don't drink specialty coffees, maybe because of the brewing and you need to be have this dripper and stuff, but it's just it's quite easy. You can get down the rabbit hole like with anything in life, like but if you just get a B60 and you just get like at the B60 kit, that's perfect, you know? And I feel like if you see it, if you see that as like maybe a ritual or like 10 minutes of like happiness or like peace that you have where you just pour the water and you grind the coffee, I feel like if you would teach that to the audience, to a broader audience, I feel like that would be amazing too, because you would think that it takes you like you can put your an espresso pod and you have your coffee in like a few seconds. But I feel like if we could be able to show the ritual that goes behind the 10 minutes that you can, like you can wake up 10 minutes before work and just make a very pretty and delicious way of starting with your day with a, like a lemon and like juicy coffee instead of like a dark and slimy beverage that you just try to chug it as fast as you can because you don't want to taste it too much. And I feel like that's truly crucial. And yeah, like to be able to recognize that some people buy like a 250 grams bag of coffee for $20. You spend $5 daily on a Starbucks drink with super bad coffee, which probably the producer is not getting absolutely anything out of. You're getting diabetes because you're consuming so much sugar, so much syrups and stuff, because that's not even coffee at that point. That's just sugar with a little bit of coffee. And myself, I have 10 minutes of peace. I get an amazing beverage. And I get even more caffeine than you because filter coffee has more caffeine. So
There you
who
go.
wins? Who wins that
I
deal?
think they
Jose
absolutely win.
wins. Jose wins.
I think it's also, you know, it's that intentionality that goes behind growing at the end of the day. And so, you know, I spent, so say I, you know, I go buy this bag of Rwandan coffee or, you know, from wherever. And every time I brew it, you know, it's that experience of, you know, like going to, what is it, like having that 10 minutes of like, oh, I'll go on a trip to Rwanda. Like you taste the terroir of where the coffee's grown. So you know, you get that experience of where it's from and the intentionality from the producer itself. So, you know, even if it's falling in love with the ritual of brewing, but it's also, you know, tasting that coffee and the entire like experience in general, I think is something that, you know, draws me to it. And, you know, like getting excited about tasting a new coffee or tasting a new processing method. It's just like falling in love with the entire process, and then you can get into brewing and then you can get it into c equipment. But at the end of the day, I think it's all about, you know, the smaller things in the process.
Yeah,
But
most definitely.
yeah, like what if you got to enjoy the beverage you were drinking? That'd be nice. You wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
I feel like that would be appreciated, yeah.
So something that we kind of try to preach is just because, like, coffee can be a lot, and there's a lot of different steps into it, and it can seem like the super complicated thing. And you said on your Instagram, this is from one of your posts, I took a little quote out, and it says, "Coffee has never been about the caffeine or the multiple gadgets." I think you're talking about, just like meeting people. Would you care to like kind of go into this philosophy or this kind of like, I guess, mindset that you have?
Yeah, for me, like in the post, I said, I feel like coffee for me has never been about like being able to say like I'm a coffee farmer, I have a really good coffee and all the multiple gadgets, as I said, and the caffeine. I feel like that goes alongside with the story about me and my dad getting together. I feel like coffee goes way further than that. In my opinion, there's so much coffee. There's so much things that revolve around coffee, in the sense that there has been friendships started with a cup of coffee. There have been friendships ended with a cup of coffee. Relationships started with that, and or just like a beautiful moment with your mom. I feel like it's an experience that getting a cup of coffee has become a synonym to communication, to talking, to exchanging things. And I feel like one of the best things in life is being able to communicate and being able to learn from people. And a lot of time that goes with a cup of coffee. So I would say, why don't make it a good cup of coffee instead of like a bad cup of coffee? So I feel like that's truly what I love the most about coffee is the power it has to unite people, in the sense that how I've seen on the expos, like there's been like stories that I heard about friendships and that started with coffee, with specialty coffee, two coffee enthusiasts that became best friends and now have a roaster, a roastery. There's so much history, so much passion behind coffee, and it's just beautiful to be able to see coffee like that for me, because I feel like it's a pretty beautiful way to see it as a producer, because you're making something that's making people get along, that's making people happy, that's making people be friends with other people, And yeah, for me, that's what coffee is. It's a tonic, a drink that you can make, but it is also like an opportunity to meet other people and to just have a precious moment with yourself, even because, as Seneca said, like, and when they ask him, like, what progress have you made? I've become a better friend for myself. So, yeah, I feel like that's the end goal, like.
Yeah. I connect with that for sure. Like if it wasn't for coffee, I don't even know what would have happened. Like I changed my degree at school because of coffee. I got a job to
Same.
meet Caleb because of coffee. I've worked, I've done so many things in my life and have like completely moved, what I thought I was going to do because of coffee. And it all just started with like one cup of like, what's going on here? Coffee is a vessel for so many different things, and the start of, it's just such a complex thing that can have an impact in ways that you wouldn't really even think of. And so yeah, it's completely agree with what you're saying. And
Yeah.
it's, that's just something to add to the list of why it's so special and why we should care about it and where it comes from, and to support that indirect relationship. So
Yeah,
for
it's
sure. Yeah.
awesome just what it can do. We have a girl, actually. I'll share her story just because she's doing some awesome stuff and just incredible. Her name's Maddie. Shout out Maddie, if you and she works at the cafe that I manage, and she actually was working at a law firm and then decided to just apply for a coffee shop. And now she's being trained to be our roaster and be the manager of the cafe, and like has completely fallen down the rabbit hole, and is just like, the one thing that she shared with me was like that she has never felt so passionate about anything. Like it's and it's insane how like just something that she once thought of as like a drive-through experience has now become her full career. And it's just crazy what coffee can do. Going back to what Lewis was saying, like
That's crazy.
literally just like us working together at a cafe and bringing in bags of coffee to share with each other has now turned into us talking with some of the most amazing people in the industry, and really just trying to better it in any way we thought we think we can. I was doing musical theater before I was started doing coffee, and it was so I don't know where I'd be at. I was a musical theater major before I changed over, and so it's wild how coffee has just absolutely affected our life.
Yeah. All right. Well, getting towards the end of this episode, I want to kind of finish off on what your kind of goals for the future are, Jose. I'd love to hear kind of like what you have planning, if not, you know, what you would like kind of see to happen in your future, or just like any type of goals that you have, whether it's with your Instagram or with Think of San Pedro, or you know, anything like that.
Yeah, what I would love to do in the next couple of years, I would say, is that first of all, I want to make San Pedro a garden. There's some parts that they're kind of dry, there's not much in it. And the zone itself is like that too, because it was a zone where there was a lot of planting, like of seasonal crops, like corn, beans, and that only destroys the soil. So I would love to be able to make San Pedro a garden. I would love to keep being able to be able to go to expos, keep being able to encourage producers, keep being able to meet amazing people like you guys, keep being able to, yeah, just I told you guys at the start, that just trying to be like a good human being, and that will always be like my main goal. It can be, it's not coffee related, it's just life related. Learning more, reading more books, being with my dogs, and yeah, just keep on learning all the way, and recognizing that everything is born from change, and that there is also like that the obstacle is the way. So always keeping in mind like the power that we as humans have inside of our minds, and that we can make so much beautiful things, and it doesn't need to be like an economic thing. It could just be like a good human thing, a good human act. And like there's also a quote of on Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, which I would recommend everybody on that is listening to be able to
Yeah.
read. It's my favorite book of all time. Is that
That's a
it's
good
just
book.
to, yeah,
I would
wash your
also
shirt.
recommend
Yeah,
it.
it's amazing. It's an amazing book. Life changing. It's like a shield against everything that life throws at you, you know? And there's this beautiful quote, and I feel like I remember it's wash yourself clean with simplicity, with humility, with indifference to everything but right and wrong. Care for other human beings. And yeah, I would just keep trying to be a better person, to be a better professional, to be a better father of a dog, and to be a better son, to be, yeah, just a better person overall. And yeah, I just hope that we can make another podcast in a couple of years, and that
Heck yeah,
will
man.
be like still going on,
Yeah.
or even not in a couple of years, and maybe like Coffee with Jose podcast number 10, and
That'd be awesome.
oh
Hopefully.
no, we'll do that. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, and yeah, just getting that message out of that coffee is beautiful. Coffee, it's in a way of meeting, of love, of friendship. And yeah, just keep consuming incredible coffee. Keep listening to these passionate guys on Sidecar Podcast, and just be a good person to others, and just be kind, because that's what everybody wants. Just kindness and love in the world. I hope I don't sound like Bob Marley, like just happiness and love, but that's it at the end of the day, just happiness and love, and that's what we were put on this earth to do, you know?
That's
Awesome.
yeah, that's awesome to hear, man.
Beautiful.
Anything else you'd like to add towards you'd like to say before we end this episode off?
Yeah, I would say just enjoy your cup of coffee that you're brewing, or your next cup of coffee. I feel like it. I hope it's just a great one, and yeah, I hope you have a good evening, good day, or good night. And I really, really want to thank you guys for having me on here. As I said,
Thank you.
I've learned. No, dude, I've learned as much as maybe you've learned from me. And
Great,
I feel like this is the thing that it's such an amazing thing for new producers or producers in general to meet people like you guys, and to meet people at the expos that are so passionate about what you do. It just encourages to be better. It just encourages to be like, to put more love into what you do, because I know there's so much hardship, so much tribulation in growing coffee, but once you see how your work is appreciated, everything is start, it just comes off a little bit easier, you know, and that's important. Yeah.
Man,
That's
that's
it.
awesome.
That's crazy. It's
Yeah,
huge.
thank you. Anything, any
Wow.
like big things coming up for you? Anything coming out, releasing, anything?
For now, well, there is all actually where I was talking to, I don't know if you guys know this roaster, the Peaky Chemist.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
There is something that's cooking there with
Let's go.
Okay.
Putushio. And that's an amazing, amazing experience. The guy is absolutely great. I met him in Copenhagen. He was like super nice guy, and I've heard like majestic things about his roasting, and I feel like that would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's
And
exciting, man.
yeah,
That's
and
cool.
maybe hopefully in the near future another sidecar podcast, you would say.
Heck yeah, man. 100%.
Oh yeah.
We can do that. All righty.
Easy.
Well, that's this episode. Yeah, thank you again so much. This has been an incredible experience, you know, just being able to hear your perspectives. And again, like learning a lot, and then just like adding motivation to us. It's extremely, you know, motivating to like keep pushing and keep trying to educate and keep trying to like, you know, build this community and, you know, make sure that get as many people to drink coffee as possible. And just not only that, but it's bigger than coffee, you know, showing kindness and just being a good human and pushing good vibes, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like that's super important, just trying to get the message out as hard as you can. And yeah, maybe or some maybe I go like too much further into like a piece of information, or I talk too much, or like I or whatever, maybe I talk too much,
No.
or maybe something is not said correctly, but I hope that the message is there. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And regardless of
Awesome.
anything, you know, it's just good to hear your perspectives and your message, not only is just great to hear. So yeah, thank you for that. And thank you everybody for listening to this episode. We appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you guys
Yeah.
next week.
Go
So yeah.
follow Jose
Coffee with
coffee
Jose, yeah.
underscore with underscore Jose at Instagram. And if you want to check out the coffees from the farm, I think right now, thankfully coffee has
Yes,
some stuff on their menu.
oxidation from Finca.
And then I think it might still be up on September's, but
okay,
yeah.
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Yep.
yeah. All right. That's the
Yep.
episode.
Thank you guys.